CP Eau Claire and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. It's a 1-2 weather punch for California as a first atmosphere, two atmospheric rivers moves into the Bay Area. CBS's Elise Preston reports from San Francisco.
20 million Californians are bracing for potential flooding today as the first of two powerful storms ramp up in this state, punching down first on Northern California. High wind is also a great concern here. Some parts of California's Bay Area, especially along the coast, could see winds gusting up to 60 miles per hour. The threat of severe weather continues throughout the day, and cities and counties are on high alert, warning residents to stay off the roads if they can and be cautious of downed power lines and toppled trees.
White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the U.S. response to the deadly Jordan drone strike won't be a one-off.
We'll respond on our own time, on our own schedule.
The three American service members killed at the Jordan military base will be returned to the U.S. later this week. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
This Friday, the President and the First Lady are honored to attend the dignified transfer of the three U.S. Army soldiers we lost in Jordan.
In Boise, Idaho, authorities say multiple people have been hurt in a building collapse. Search and rescue operations are underway. It happened near the airport but is not affecting operations. The Republican-led House impeachment inquiry is heating up with a threat if the White House does not immediately cooperate with a request for records. More from CBS's Catherine Herridge.
Republicans want the White House to authorize the release of speeches, including drafts from then-Vice President Joe Biden. GOP investigators are examining whether a speech in 2015 benefited a Ukraine energy firm where Hunter Biden sat on the board. Republicans are threatening subpoenas if the White House does not cooperate. Catherine Herridge, CBS News, Washington.
The U.S. House has passed a bipartisan $79 billion tax cut package. It would expand the child tax credit for millions of families and restore three key tax breaks for businesses. The bill passed by a vote of 357 to 70. Speaker Mike Johnson threw his support behind the bill this morning. An alarming rise in the number of laser strikes aimed at aircraft. Feds say laser strikes surged 41% last year to a record high. CBS's Chris Van Cleef.
In December alone, 36 events were reported every day. Most occur in the morning. Most occur over the weekend. Those are the highest days. Texas and California are among the top of the list for most laser strike reports.
Boeing cuts its fourth quarter loss to $30 million, but that was before one of its jets lost a panel in flight. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican bills to ban race-based programs at the universities of Wisconsin are moving through the legislature. They got a hearing Wednesday. GOP lawmakers want to require universities to offer help to students based on need, not race.
One of the main effects that this bill will have is that it will put race hustlers out of business. Talking about how one person deserves one thing or another based on their race will never solve the problem.
The UW Board of Regents recently agreed to limits to diversity efforts in exchange for state funding. GOP lawmakers want to curtail some of Governor Evers's veto power. They're proposing a constitutional amendment to bar the governor from using a partial veto to increase any taxes or fees. Evers used his partial veto last July to increase limits on how much public schools can raise every year for the next 400 years. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers hire a new defensive coordinator. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Matt LaFleur putting out a statement. He has hired Jeff Hafley, age 44, head coach of the Boston College Eagles, to be the new defensive coordinator in Green Bay. Hafley's originally from New Jersey, played wide receiver in high school and at a small college, had secondary coaching stints at Rutgers and Pitt, then got into the NFL, where he was a secondary coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cleveland Browns, and the San Francisco 49ers. After that, 2 years as a co-defensive coordinator for the Ohio State Buckeyes, then in December of 2019, hired as the new coach in Boston. Matt LaFleur says, "We are excited to welcome Jeff and his family to the Packers and the Green Bay community. He's had success at every stop of his coaching career and an impressive track record of developing players at every level. We look forward to Jeff leading our defense." NBA, Bucks in Portland against the Trailblazers tonight. Again, Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley, the new defensive coordinator for the Packers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy this evening, cloudy overnight, some areas of fog with low visibilities and a dense fog advisory. Lows in the low 30s. A mix of sun and clouds and upper 40s tomorrow. Partly sunny for Friday, a high in the mid 40s. More warmth for the weekend, well into the 40s with a mix of sun and clouds. Currently 35 degrees.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Elbow. Thursday at noon, our old friend, columnist, and Renaissance man, John Roach, stops by. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back to Nightlight for hour number two. Kristen Lyerly is here in just a few minutes. Nathan Sill is going to join us. And I have to admit, I am taking full advantage of Kristen's appearance here because she's an OBGYN. She's a doctor, and I am fully exploiting this friendship by asking her all kinds of medical questions.
Let's go.
When you were here last, I meant to tell you before, I found yoga late in life, and I said, I love yoga. I have not done yoga since you were here last.
Pete, the mats are right in the other room.
I'm not going to do it here. That'd be weird.
Would it? No. With the big window?
Yeah, that would be weird.
Yeah.
Because I usually wear just a jock strap and clogs when I do it, so... Oh, I was wondering if you were still here. Conrad. A little laugh from Conrad. All right. I thought of that joke for you, Conrad, earlier because you said, oh, it's 10 degrees. That's shorts weather.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now it's 45 in the winter. And I thought, oh, that's Conrad's just walking around in a jockstrap and a tank top today.
Ka-chow, Conrad.
Ka-chow. Nice. From the 608, Rico is rocking it tonight, man. You're welcome. I was just beginning to think I was becoming a pain in the ass. Never, Rico. Never. And then there's one more back to the, there's asterisks. Rico must have swore. So I want to ask you before we bring Nathan in. So since I've been doing radio, since like May, I have been sitting on my butt and I'm trying to get back in shape. All right. Years ago, I tried the vegan thing for like 9 months. It was great. I lost weight. I had energy. I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I'm a guy, I tend to binge on things. Mm-hmm. So I can't, like, my mom is one of those people who can eat one cookie. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Come on. Have one glass of wine? Can't do it, you know. So what do you tell people like me? I just started doing the keto thing about 6 weeks ago, and I love it. And I find it very easy. Your cravings go away. You know, and then one day, I don't know if you call it a cheat day, but I'll have a few carbs, but I won't go crazy. But is that a healthy diet?
In general, it can be a very healthy diet as long as you are getting fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Are you getting that?
Yeah, you can eat berries. Like I eat blackberries and I love blueberries.
I do too.
Those are not keto friendly, but sometimes I'll just have some because you can have a certain amount of carbs.
Mm-hmm. You need the nutrients.
Right.
That's the thing. So it might be really important for you, depending on the breadth of food that you eat, to have a multivitamin every day. I'm not a big vitamin person, but yeah, if you are eating a restricted diet, like say you've had weight loss surgery, or you have celiac or other food issues, you may want to take a multivitamin just to make sure that you're getting all of those nutrients since you can't get them through your diet. Vegans also have to make sure that they get enough protein.
Protein, right.
Yeah, you know, you did that.
I did it. And I made sure I did. You have to work a little harder at it. but like with the keto, I've been taking a multivitamin since really at the onset of COVID. And I knew D, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I had a feeling vitamin D was going to be huge.
Yeah.
And it is.
It
and
was discovered here in Wisconsin.
Vitamin D?
At the UW.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so cool.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea. Well, there you go. But I've been taking, I don't think I've missed a day. I take D, and when I get cold symptoms or illness symptoms, I take a lot more D, take echinacea and
zinc.
Isn't echinacea, I tried the zinc, that didn't work for me. If I have a symptom and I start taking echinacea at the first sign of a symptom, I do not get sick.
That's great.
Yeah. So I'm not like trying to brag, but I do take vitamins and I believe in them, but some of them have carbs because I take the gummy. You know, they're not the gummy, how everybody thinks of a gummy. It's not a marijuana vitamin is what I'm saying.
There were gummies before there was marijuana in gummies.
That's true. So what do you tell people that are having trouble? I mean, I think I kind of found my thing. And once I turn a corner, I'm fine. I eat pretty responsibly. But what do you tell people that really struggle with nutrition and just trying to be in shape?
You've just got to figure out what works for you.
Okay.
There's not a perfect diet that works well for everybody, or that would be the answer for everybody. Like, we wouldn't have obesity. It wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
So you've just got to find that diet that's going to work for you. And I'm not saying that unhealthy diet that's going to work for you.
Cupcakes.
Yeah, right. No, but maybe you are a Mediterranean diet kind of person because you like that kind of food. Maybe you are a keto person because you like that kind of food. Maybe you could never eat meat again. I mean, who knows? Whatever appeals to you, find it. Make it your own, fine tune it, tweak it, make sure you're getting enough nutrients. So maybe it is an extra multivitamin. Maybe it's some D. Maybe you need a little extra iron in your diet. Really, you individualize it for yourself. And it's the same thing with exercise. If you hate yoga, don't make yourself do yoga every day. Do something else that makes you feel happy and inspired and excited to exercise.
That's a great answer. And I think... that's the thing too. I think fresh fruit is vital to me anyway in keeping illness away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think vitamins can replace that. I don't know. I just think there's something you get about from fresh fruit.
Well, fiber for one.
Well, I mean fiber, but I mean in terms of you meant that medically, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I am, listen,
it's great
I could
to prevent
go pro.
Colon cancer. Yeah, right.
Okay, let me ask you that because I'm all right. If you go to the bathroom a lot, is that good for thinking you don't have colon cancer? Like if you're
like if you have more than one stool a day?
Yeah.
If that's your norm, if that's the way that you've been, you know, living your life, then it's most likely fine.
Okay.
It's when you have a change in your bowel habits. So if you notice that your stool, your poop is really skinny.
Okay.
Or if there's blood in the toilet or blood on your stool, those are really significant.
We are batting 1,000 so far here, I got to tell you. So two a day, is that normal? Is that a good sign?
Two a day can be normal.
What about seven? What if I go seven times a day?
Okay. That's a lot, especially if it's loose.
Yeah.
That tells me that something's GI-wise for you. Okay. And, you know, there's a fair bit of data about probiotics because, you know, our bodies are loaded with bacteria that helps us digest things.
Right.
So if you don't have the right mix of bacteria in your colon,
it's all about
so
the
good
gut
for
health,
you.
Too, right? And it's.
It is. And your gut health affects your mental health.
This is the free medical advice I always love getting. isn't that something? I know I've read that. In my own little Google research, that's fascinating to me how they're tracing everything now to gut health.
Not everything. Lots of it is dental health.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of data now that if you have dental issues, bacteria growing in your teeth, how it affects your heart.
Oh,
it can
imagine,
affect your pregnancy if you are a woman who is pregnant. There are a number of things that are correlated with bad dental health.
Here's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
11 BMs a day. But floss every night.
No.
No.
Yes, floss, no BMs. Too many BMs.
I don't usually talk about that. I'm not like an earthy guy, especially not like in my humor that was never, but it's medical, right?
I have four sons, so I'm pretty comfortable talking about poop.
I bet you are. So we're going to bring in Nathan. Is Nathan here, Conrad? Can we get Nathan in here?
Yeah.
I cannot wait to talk to him. And you'll probably be really interested in this too, Kristen, because he made this great film about parkour, and he can tell us about it. Set him up right here.
Nathan, you look like a parkour guy. You've got that, like, swagger. You look strong. You're, like, you're buff.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh.
You should see on his website, joining us now is, and I never asked you if you want, like, an official intro. I know you're a filmmaker.
I'll take one.
Yeah. You'll take one? Okay. Filmmaker Nathan Sill is here, and I'm saying your last name correctly.
Yeah. Nice to meet you in person.
This is Dr. Kristen. So he is recovering from a medical issue. We'll get to that. But first, let's talk about your film, Nathan. So it's called Afterglow. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. Afterglow is a true passion project. It's made by myself and all my friends. I'm from Beloit. We have a little parkour group down there called Siegfried. And it really is just about how we grew up, became friends, but also used parkour as this great option to go out and explore and deal with a lot of problems that we had in our life, such as mental health issues and problems at home.
That's really interesting. And the trailer of your film you shared with me, this is a great sign too, because I'm a filmmaker myself. And the second I saw the trailer, I had so many questions for you. And I'm like, I really wish I could see this whole movie. Whose house was that you show in the trailer with the maggots?
That is my friend Devin McIntyre's and his sibling house that they grew up, their second house that they grew up in.
Wow, that was really, so, and is, well, tell us what inspired, let's do this. Tell us what inspired you to make the film. At what point did you say, I have to turn this into a movie? Because documentaries take a long time.
Yeah.
The filmmakers have to be incredibly patient. And what made you decide, because how old are you?
22 at the moment.
Wow, that's impressive. So what made you say, I'm going to dedicate probably at least a year, maybe more, to this project?
We've always wanted to make a parkour documentary since high school. And I would say we didn't really know how to do that until last year. I was graduating from Beloit College, and we heard that the film festival was, you know, looking for new films, and we had been pitching out the whole year about making a film over the summer. And at that time, it was kind of more of like, let's go out, have a lot of really good athletes come out and just shoot something that's really intense, super cool. And the more we talked about it, we decided to tell a story, our story at Siegfried. And it was a lot of talking. I would say the longest thing in the process was the behind the scenes talking with members, seeing who was comfortable telling their story, because it's very personal stories being told throughout the film. And then, surprisingly enough, we shot the whole movie in a week. No sleep, pretty much. Going out.
Really?
Yes. And we went to work, and we did 1,200-plus hours of editing in about 3 months and got it done and submitted it to the film festival. And, yeah.
Right. Scratch what I said about documentary filmmakers need to be patient. That's incredible. That's like a breakneck pace. No pun intended, because I know it's dangerous. Nathan Sill is here. We're talking about his film Afterglow, and we have a lot more coming up. And Kristen Lyerly is here, who's going to jump in with her medical advice to parkourians. Is that a word? I don't know. Hey, this is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Todd Almost Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Almost Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn
it's Justin
on.
Timberlake's birthday today. City, what better way to celebrate that than with a little Justin Timberlake? Nathan, you like Justin Timberlake?
I do, yeah.
I don't think I like anybody that's new, and then I hear a song and I'm like, oh, this is great.
We should have a sing-along.
Yeah. Let's just see how, just don't get ahead of ourselves, right, Kristen? You're so bossy. All right. So you said you spent your whole life in Beloit. When did you get into parkour?
I got into parkour my sophomore year of high school, and I immediately twisted my ankle. Had to go into swim season and didn't really get back into it seriously until senior year of high school. And that's when we formed Siegfried and the whole group of people that we all started coming out at lunch together, started training together, skipping a few classes together, and it was a really good time.
Skipping classes. Yeah.
Who does that?
Siegfried. Why Siegfried?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, yeah. Siegfried is spelled S-I-G-F-R-E-E-D. So not like the band, but it comes from a Germanic myth of this guy slaying a dragon. He drinks his blood and he gains like the power to talk to animals.
Uh-huh.
We wanted Siegfried to be for us just kind of like a metaphor of going out, and everyone has these issues in our group or problems that are really tough, but you can be your like own hero, slay that metaphorical dragon of your life. And it was like a fun thing that we came up with all together.
I love it. So you're obviously really pro movement, and parkour can be dangerous. We'll get back to the film, but are the accidents in that sport worth the risks? You still do it even though you had an injury? And tell us about your injury too.
Yeah. I'll start with parkour and danger. I think for how a lot of parkour athletes view it is, it's not that it's too dangerous, but like every sport has danger. I think, Christian, you said something about it. It's if you're not smart and not a smart athlete, mm-hmm. you're going to end up injured no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
And with parkour, I would say it's a newer sport. So we don't have as many people around, especially like the Wisconsin area, that train up a lot of the young athletes. If you go to bigger states or cities, areas that they do have those gyms and stuff, you get a lot more people that know what they're doing. For me and my friends, we learned on YouTube. And so there was a lot more injuries that I think came out of that just because you see someone jumping off something. You don't see the time and practice that goes behind that. Like those guys, those Red Bull athletes are training hours and hours and hours on the street in gyms. And a high school student isn't going to be able to replicate that no matter how many times they throw themselves off that.
I wish we could replicate the look on Pete's face when you said I learned that out on YouTube.
I used to work on a show called Sports Soup. It was like, you know, the show The Soup.
Uh-huh.
This is a Comcast show. It was just sports. And I sat in a room with other comedians and we wrote jokes. It was a great gig. But I was in charge of some of these finding funny skateboard clips and mixed martial arts stuff. And some of it, the injuries are horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like bones sticking out of skin and going the other way. And one guy, to your point, was like 17 and he took a really bad spill. And he was talking later about how his friends wanted him to shave his head because they all decided to shave their heads. He says, no, my hair is like my natural helmet. But that's what some of these kids, they think that way. They just don't know. So it's kind of cute and it's kind of dangerous, right? I mean, you said you had a pretty bad injury. What happened to you, Nathan?
For sure. Going back to being in high school, I really, really fell in love with a lot of the high impact stuff. And being an athlete, I was already training quite a lot. And if you're not landing right, you're not rolling right, it puts a lot of pressure on a lot of different parts of your body. And it just gets worn down so much faster. So by freshman year of college, not high school, I was my back was hurting really bad. We went to the doctor and ended up getting an MRI. I had 3 ruptured discs in my back that I had been like training on for like a year. And it was just very gross, very bad. Lots of like little bone fragments that were off doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And so I went into surgery for that. And I woke up and they had accidentally nicked my spinal cord. So I woke up completely paralyzed from the waist down. And they didn't know if I was going to walk again.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And how old were you?
I was 19 at the time.
Okay.
Just turned 19, I think, actually.
So have you fully recovered from that? And do you still do parkour?
Yes to the second one, kind of to the first one. I'm partially paralyzed from the knees down still. Have a little bit of foot drop on both sides. But I do still do parkour, just a lot differently.
Yeah.
It's been kind of a reevaluation of the sport. Like, I love it. It has done so much for me mentally and physically, good and bad. And it's just kind of finding a new avenue within the sport.
From the very beginning, you talked about how this is a physical sport, but also it's helped you and your friends with so many of the things that were happening in your lives. Talk a little bit more about that and about how it has really contributed to your overall health and well-being.
Yeah. Speaking from my point of view, I think the biggest thing is my mental health. I grew up like way outside in the country, so didn't grow up with a lot of people around me. And parkour for me has been a very social sport. I've gotten to meet a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, talk with them, grow with them. And moving in general is just a really good way to get outside your head sometimes. Like, you feel trapped, you feel very isolated in your own head. Mm-hmm. And when you're moving out in an environment, it's kind of like doing art. You can go out and do whatever you want, and it really just helps with expressing like who you are, who you want to be.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I would say filmmaking is safer, so go with filmmaking. But if you see this trailer, Kristen, of Nathan's film, you're taking a lot of risks as a filmmaker. You got some drone shots maybe of the Madison area, I noticed, but you have people cliff diving and stuff. And you're up filming that. How was that dangerous?
So we actually, another shout out, actually, we had one guy from the Madison area, Alex Page. He did all the drone work, all the filming, all by himself over the 8 days we were out filming. So he had never done parkour before. He had never done anything like that before. He came out and he's climbing the buildings with us. He's jumping off the cliffs with us. He's hiking up these things with a camera and his drone. And he's just hanging off, getting all these shots. And he handled it like a champ. I was, just amazed by like how well he kept up with everyone.
You're hearing this and you let your son do this, this sport.
It's a fantastic sport. So for people who are not familiar with parkour, we should have started with this. What is parkour?
So parkour is movement, creative movement through urban or like any environment, really. It started from like French military training, how to get to point A to point B, the fastest, most efficient way possible. And so many different athletes have come into the sport and added to the sport. And now we have a lot of tricking that's moved into it, which is like the flipping side of it. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of free runners who compete for Red Bull and stuff. And they really focus in on a lot of the like really stylish, fancy moves. And it's really grown as a sport into lots of different avenues. And I compared it to an art style, and it really is an art in the way that so many people can just go and make it their own.
I have so many questions for you still about the film and parkour, and but we'll get to that. Coming up next, we're going to ask Nathan how he feels about the Oxford comma. No, we're not going to do that. We're talking parkour and filmmaking. He's an up-and-coming filmmaker. His film is Afterglow. We have more in just a minute on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. An atmospheric river moves into California's Bay Area, and there's concern as far south as San Diego, where Mayor Todd Gloria is issuing an evacuation warning to residents in low-lying areas.
We will have extra public safety and swift water rescue teams in these communities. And should a mandatory evacuation order be issued, the San Diego Police Department will make contact door to door.
The U.S. attributes the drone attack that killed three service members in Jordan to the Islamic resistance in Iraq. CBS's David Martin says when the U.S. strikes back.
You should think that it's going to last for as long as it takes, and it's going to take a long time.
CBS's Chris Van Cleve says laser strikes on aircraft surged 41% last year to a record high.
It's dangerous because it can temporarily blind, even injure the pilots. Often when they are at a relatively low altitude, like when taking off and landing.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Dental therapists can now start practicing in Wisconsin. They can fill cavities, do oral exams, and pull some teeth. Governor Evers is also signing off on new money to boost oral care training in Wisconsin's technical colleges and incentives for Marquette University dental students to practice in underserved areas. Governor Evers is standing by Tuesday's veto of legislative maps passed by Republican state lawmakers last week.
It's important to make sure that people have, you know, good maps, to make sure that we have competitive races, all that stuff. But what I vetoed is was not in that vein.
Redistricting will likely be settled by the state Supreme Court in a few weeks. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy this evening, cloudy overnight, some areas of fog with low visibilities and a dense fog advisory. Lows in the low 30s. A mix of sun and clouds in upper 40s tomorrow. Partly sunny for Friday, a high in the mid-40s. More warmth for the weekend, well into the 40s with a mix of sun and clouds. Right now it's 33.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Never gave a without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, lost of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
I parkour too. I'm a very mellow parkour. From the 608, Rico again. Real question here. What would be a good first date movie? That is a good question.
Saltburn?
Did you watch it with someone?
No. I watched it.
You should have called the folks in.
Barely watched it with himself.
No.
Yeah, really. Sometimes all you need is yourself for a first date. That's fun. That was a joke. Nobody laughs at my jokes around here. Conrad, are you still here? Okay.
I forgot to turn on my mic. I did laugh, though.
How about Groundhog Day? That's coming up. That's one of my favorite movies. That's a great first date.
That's cute.
Movie, for sure. Right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's too cute, though. Mm-hmm. Maybe it puts pressure on as a couple if you're not hitting it off.
Let's go category. Do you go with a romantic comedy or do you go with a documentary? It's a different message.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would go action film.
Action film.
Because it's
that would be
like,
the only date.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Well, it depends who's on the date, right? If I'm hanging out with Jean-Claude Van Damme, it's a perfect date. Mm-hmm. Not in that way, but I'm just saying. Okay, Rico, we'll get back to you on this because I don't know. That's a good. I think Groundhog Day could work or
Say Anything.
Say Anything. Kind of along the same lines a little bit. What do you watch, Nathan? What are your favorite movies?
I like a lot of anime, actually, so I'm not sure that makes the best first date movies, but Your Name is a really good film from Japan, so
okay,
I like that one. It has a little bit of romance in it, so.
Do you know of a film? My son likes the film The Departed a lot, the Scorsese film, and he says it's based on a Japanese film called The Interrogators or The Infiltrators? It's not anime, but I don't know. If you're into Japanese films, I thought maybe.
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I'm not going to say I know that one off the top of my head.
Okay. So anime is great if your date is into anime too. Then
I think so, yeah.
It's a home run.
But if your date is into anime and you're watching anime, that is like, you're locked in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's perfect. You go right to the altar from there.
Absolutely.
Or to Vegas. Nathan Sills. That is the voice of Nathan Sills. He's an up-and-coming filmmaker and a student. He's a very young guy. Drove here all the way from Beloit to be in studio. I think he just wanted to meet Dr. Kristen Lyerly, get some advice like I do. She's here, too. We're having fun tonight on this Wednesday night, broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Green Bay Studios, WGBW. So you talked about mental health, Nathan, and you mentioned during the break that one in four kids is homeless. Is that right in Beloit?
One in five teens or young adults are homeless in Beloit or struggling with problems at home.
That is shocking. I don't know much about Beloit, but and what do? They find groups like this, like yours maybe, for parkour and feel part of something?
Yeah, I would say that, my friend Devin, him and his family are a big part of the film. That is what he found was our parkour group. And I mean, I didn't know right away his situation. It's not something you go out and talk about, but with the film, one of the things that we do push throughout the film is what connection means to people and having a space to talk about that kind of stuff with people you trust, people you love. And, having that option open to people. It doesn't have to be parkour, but connecting, reaching out with other people, other peers, mentors, and having that space to like really open up can be a lot for people.
Well, say. I mean,
I love that you said connection twice as you were talking about it, because obviously, you know, if you are unhoused and probably have a pretty rough family situation, you're seeking that. You need that. Like, we're human beings and we have to have that in our lives. And in the break, our listeners didn't get to hear this, but you talked a little bit about what your hopes are for the future as somebody who graduated with a degree in psychology. You're not really a filmmaker. I mean, you are now, but that wasn't what you were going into initially. This all just kind of erupted out of your love for parkour and your love for this group of people that you were with. Where do you go with it from here?
Yeah. Thank you for asking that question. We are working with a lot of nonprofits, actually, in Beloit. OLA, Good Trouble Beloit, being the two main ones at the moment. We have a showing in April 23rd, right after the film festival, which is going to be the 5th through the 14th. And we're going to be doing a showing with them which is going to be a big community event down at the church. And it's going to be hosted by OLA, which is where the church is, but also with Good Trouble Beloit. And we're going to be trying to really get a lot of the homeless families in there. We're going to be trying to get a lot of the community members in there and just really start a discussion about Beloit, the situations a lot of people are going through, and then bringing awareness to that.
Will there be parkour?
Hopefully. Hopefully we're all healthy and we can do a few little stunts around.
Don't overdo it, though. Just take it easy, will you? All right, so one of my questions for you, Nathan, and I ask a lot of filmmakers this, who are your influences? But you're not really a film guy. So you can answer the question by telling me who your influences are as a filmmaker, or how in the heck you went about this, because you've never done this before. You obviously just kind of tore into it guerrilla style and made a film. How did you tell yourself you were going to do it, and how did you get through it?
I would say one of the things that did help is we've had a very like low-key YouTube channel over the years. That was something. So going into it, we kind of knew how to structure parts of the story. I knew how to write. I took a lot of journalism classes and stuff, creative writing courses. So when I was writing the scripts on stuff, that helped tremendously. And then the other big thing that helped was we had a great editor after the fact, Mason Sorensen. He came in. He had actually 7 years of YouTube experience. So I sat with him. We sat down, and anything that was not traditional, him and our production guy, Alex, he also came in, and they were like, okay, this is like good. This looks like a movie. No, that doesn't look like a movie. And they helped a lot. Mason did all the editing throughout the whole 3 months. He sat in his room with me just hour after hour after hour, and he was a very good sport about it. And then, I mean, I really like James Gunn and his movies, like the Guardians 3. I really like how he uses the music. So that was something at least we tried to do a little bit with the music.
I was because you have to have some kind of influence to do this. Like, how, and you say you sat in the room, and that's, to me, kind of the cool part of the process when you're making a film is just logging those hours and sitting there and laughing at stupid stuff after a while. And but how do you know, you're a first-time director, how did you know as you're watching this, yeah, that's good, yeah, that's not, let's get rid of that, just shooting from the hip?
I think the big thing is with our story and how we wanted it to be told, we had everyone's story from the raw interviews that they told. And so after watching those and seeing like what parts really worked and what parts didn't work, the script was kind of in my head already. There was parts like emotionally I wanted in the film because they would make me tear up, like thinking about going through that in the past, or make me laugh because it was so much fun on the trip itself. And so those were the parts we knew we had to keep in the movie. And so like working around those parts kind of was like trying to fit the pieces of the puzzle in for the rest of it. And it worked out really well. Like I said, it kind of was like worked out a little too well. I was like, this is really good. This is like a story that is easy to tell because we lived through it. So,
well, that was one of my questions too. If you do make another film, this is obviously very close to you and it's your world, so you know it. So where do you go from here if you do want to make another film? Do you have to find something? Do you have other passions?
I mean, I think as people, like the group itself is so diverse and we've added new members over the years that the story could keep continuing. We could revisit like in 12 years, you know, what's the group doing? Have they like been able to escape and do more things, or like, you know, what happens? People are always changing. People are always growing, you know. So it would be interesting to maybe revisit in a few years, see like what people are doing, or maybe I'll like something else, you know, meet more like someone else. And I don't know. I plan on traveling a lot, so I hope.
So I have a doctor here and a psychiatrist here. I'm covered. You guys are on either side of me. I've got physical health, mental health. I feel like I'm pretty good spot here. My guests right now are Nathan Sills. He's an up-and-coming Sill. He's an up-and-coming filmmaker and a student. Did you graduate?
Yes.
Where did you graduate from?
Beloit College.
Beloit College. Yep. Okay, I thought so. He is here to talk about his movie, Afterglow, which looks really cool. And my other guest is Kristen Lyerly, who is asking questions too, and I'm asking her questions about health.
There are so many questions happening.
Do you have a health
right
question
now
for Kristen, Nathan?
Ooh. I am not great with questions.
It's parkour. Where does he start, right?
Yeah.
You can think about it. Yeah. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. You have a question for Nathan, Kristen?
How's your recovery going?
Yeah,
that's a great question. Oh, with the back? Yeah. Good. So, I mean, really good, actually. They did say I wasn't going to be able to walk again.
That's
wild. So, you know, I am walking. So that is a big thing. I had AFO braces for a really long time as well for the parkour. Been thinking about putting them back on just because some of the stuff for parkour, you have to have ankle support and don't have that quite yet. But I've been able to do a lot more this year, taking it slow, taking it smart, just trying to kind of learn a new way of moving through the sport physically and mentally. So
psychologically, when you suffer an injury like that, especially someone like you who is young and healthy and vibrant, and suddenly you can't walk again, that must have had a huge impact on your emotions, on the way you approached life. Like, tell us about how you kept yourself sane.
Well, I didn't
make a movie about it for therapy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I journaled a lot. I started like a book. And I wrote in it during the hospital stay. It was during COVID, so it was like complete isolation too. So it was mentally very tough. I would say that it was like a huge changing of like who I was, who I viewed myself as. I always viewed myself as this athlete. My whole life I'd been an athlete, so having that taken away was like a pretty serious thing. And then I would also say like it's a plot point in the movie itself. It's like no matter how good you try to present yourself, like you can recover physically and you can recover, like, but if you don't work on that mental side as well, you don't really recover unless you're really trying to like work through it. And luckily I had a great support network around me that really helped pull me out, because I was progressing pretty decently physically, but mentally I was kind of stagnant. And luckily I had a lot of good people, good friends, family that were there with me through that time.
So where does the title Afterglow come from?
Afterglow, hopefully you guys like this. Our editor actually came up with it. He is a big psychedelic guy. And so he told me.
This sounds like a crazy group, doesn't it? Like, I want to join. You taking applications for Siegfried or what? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. But he told me it's the reflection period after a trip, like a psychedelic trip. It's the come down where you're reflecting on the good that you learned on the trip or the bad. And he was like, that's basically what your whole movie's about. He's like, you guys are going on this road trip, and then you're reflecting about all the good things that have come from the group and all the bad things that you guys have gone through. And he was like, that would be the perfect thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a great title. So has there been talk of, first of all, tell me this. All right. We talked about how young you are. You're 22. You've never made a film before. You make this film, and you get into a film festival. What did that feel like? That must have been really cool.
We got the call, we got the like text, and I was really ecstatic. I called everyone, like all the group members, let them know. But I also, it didn't hit me that we had made a movie until like after the first like little friends and family viewing. We went, did it. I was like shaking people's hands, and it still didn't really hit me. I was like, oh yeah, we made a movie. And I was still kind of still on the trip with everyone. I was like, yeah. But I think it's starting to hit me more and more, and it's
I'm really excited for you to see this with an audience, because before the dawn of film festivals and before they became normal and everywhere, filmmakers would make films, independent films or documentaries, and the risk was that they would never see them with an audience. So I hope you get to take some mental snapshots of that while you're watching it with an audience and soak in that experience, because that is so cool. And I hope you can stick around, because we're going to talk a little bit about, I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to leave that hanging so I can tell you guys when we come back. I'm so happy you're both here. Kristen Lierley and Nathan Sill. More fun right around the corner. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
Sandy.
people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers.
They're a lot.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are our efforts to be influencers, I suppose. Yeah. I mean,
we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't
know. Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Nightlight. This has been really fun. I'm Pete Schwabe. We're broadcasting statewide from the City Deck Landing Studios at WGBW. Joining me tonight for a lot of the show is Kristen Lyerly. We've had a lot of fun. And Nathan Sill joined us a little while ago, too. He's a young filmmaker, and his film Afterglow will be at the Beloit Film Festival, which starts on April 5th. Our question tonight was, we were asking you to ask us questions because it's Backwards Day. And Rico's been working it, man. He chimes in again. Nathan, are you still on YouTube somewhere?
Yes, we are under Siegfried, spelled S-I-G-F-R-E-E-D, and then underscore explore, I think. We are not the first thing that pops up, though. I think the band pops up first and a few other things. But if you see the Afterglow trailer, search Siegfried Explore Afterglow, it should pop up right away.
Awesome. Nathan's YouTube videos are a great first date movie, by the way, too. Answered Rico's other question. All right, we got a caller. Let's put him through, Conrad. This is Tom from Jackson.
Hello.
How's it going, Tom?
Hello.
Hi.
I had a couple questions for the doctor. My mom's side of the family has high blood pressure, and it looks like I do too. But some of the medicine I've taken gives me like a headache, like a spike in my head. And I was wondering what she would do if she had high blood pressure, what kind of medicine she would take, or is there anything natural I can do to handle that?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because high blood pressure is one of the things that contributes to heart disease, and heart disease is the number one killer of Americans. So this is something that you can do something about. If your medication isn't working for you, there are a number of other options out there. And some of these medications are known to give people headaches. So I would say give your doctor a call, see if there's something else that you can try just to keep your numbers normal so that your heart doesn't have to work so hard and you can live a long, beautiful, wonderful life.
How do you like that, Tom?
You know, one thing I'd like to say is that last year in the spring, I had a colonoscopy done. And they said during that procedure, my blood pressure was 120 over 80 then. But it seems like when I go see the doctor, it's much higher than that. And then after I've been there for a half hour or so, it's closer to normal, but it's never really at normal. But I was wondering what you thought about that, if it's more of a stress or is it just what?
You can't get a colonoscopy all the time to neutralize your blood pressure, so we have to think of other options here. And I'm not a doctor, Tom. Right. It's just my second opinion.
Well, and when you got your colonoscopy, you were probably pretty dehydrated, too, and that can affect your blood pressure. But I was having this conversation with my partner today.
What is happening on this show tonight? We've talked about more bodily functions. All right, go ahead, Kristen.
There are others that we have not yet
touched.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Let's focus on blood pressure.
Okay,
here.
All right. You got to help Tom out here.
You know, if you think about it this way, if your blood pressure goes up when you go to your doctor's office, what else makes your blood pressure go up? So it may be that it's just your doctor that's got you feeling, you know, agitated.
White
because
coat
you're
hypertension,
nervous.
Right?
It's a thing. Yeah, but I would encourage you, if you don't have a cuff at home, I would encourage you to get one so that you can check your blood pressure intermittently so you can see, what does my blood pressure look like throughout the day? When I'm feeling stressed, what does it look like? When I'm relaxed, what does it look like? That way, you will have a really good idea of what's going on with your body, because you really need to be your best advocate. Your doctor is not a magician. If you can come into the office, though, and say, this is what was happening, I took my blood pressure at these different times of the day, that is really helpful information as your doctor is trying to help you come up with the best way to manage your blood pressure.
We have a budding psychologist here, too, Tom. If you have a mental health question, you can throw it Nathan's way. Tom, thanks so much for the call tonight.
Well, I do have another
health question. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking it.
No. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, okay. My second question is my gallbladder was taken out 5 or 6 years ago, and that has affected my digestion. I don't really know if there's anything I could do to get around that.
That's tough. So your gallbladder holds your...
Kristen, if I may.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Pete's going to give some medical advice now.
Hold on. Let me pull up the Google.
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
Thanks.
Your gallbladder holds bile, and bile helps you digest fat. And when you don't have your gallbladder, it's harder for you to digest fat. So the fat can just kind of, run through you, and that can really change your bowel habits, and it can make eating very uncomfortable. So you may want to just toy with your diet. Journal. Keep an eye on what you're eating and how it makes you feel. And that way you'll know which foods you really probably ought to avoid because they make you feel bad.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Everybody should do that.
That's a pretty broad spectrum.
It is. I wish I could say take this supplement or, try something easy. But, the truth is a lot of us, what you just said, Pete, it would be wise for all of us to keep an eye on what we're eating and how it affects us.
Because food is medicine.
It really is. I mean, food is medicine.
Yeah. Tom, thanks so much for the call tonight, buddy. Take care of yourself, okay?
Sure.
Okay, buddy. Have a great night.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome. You've got some really good questions tonight.
And
you're crushing them. I mean, you've got it. I believe you're a doctor. I was skeptical when you came in here tonight, but you are definitely a doctor.
I get that a lot. Are you a nurse? Yeah. All those years of school really have paid off.
So that's how you do it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the movie is Afterglow, and it's going to be at the Beloit Film Festival. Nathan Sill was nice enough to drive up here to have the in-studio experience, and I hope it was worth it.
It's great. Yep.
Do you have any questions about your gallbladder?
Or your bowels. I mean, we're covering it all here. Conrad, do you have a question?
No, I don't.
Okay. Your mom shied away tonight, I noticed.
Yeah, I don't think she liked it.
Part of the medical or the bowel talk.
I appreciate, though, when you were talking about how you've modified your activity and that you can still be active and you can still do something that you love, because you got to stay active.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot you can do that isn't dangerous, like parkour, too. Like, I know you're laughing because when I was 22, somebody told me, a walk? That's not exercise, taking a walk, but it's better than nothing, right? You get your blood pumping a little.
For sure.
For sure. So, all right. I want to thank Nathan Sill for being here tonight, making the drive. And as always, Kristen, is so much fun to have here. Kristen Lierley. Dr. Kristen Lierley. Do you get mad when people don't call you doctor?
No.
No? Okay. That would really tick me off, I think, if I was a doctor. I'd be that guy. Dr. Pete Schwabba. If they just call me Pete Schwabba, I would have fun with that. All right. And thank you for all the texters, mostly Rico. He was on fire tonight.
Rico's amazing.
And your calls. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow night. Rachel Manick from the Fox 11 Morning Show will be in studio with me tomorrow night. You won't want to miss that. I'm Pete Schwabba. This has been Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center. The entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You're all set with your Medicare prescriptions, Mrs. Brown.
This is not just low-cost copays at Walgreens.
I can actually help you set up 90-day refills if you want.
This is having a partner you can trust. Get low-cost copays, 90-day refills, and delivery from your neighborhood Walgreens. This is being independent, together. Walgreens.
Restrictions apply. For details, see walgreens.com/pharmacy.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.